work misrepresented, not the laws of the impulsive tongue or hand, but the loving pulsation of the converted heart, are from God. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. He sets forth love as a rule of life in still another way. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Luke 6:36. God displayed his power and wisdom in the work of creation. He revealed his majesty in the giving of his law. And finally, in the person of his Son, he came to the world to show his love and grace. The only begotten Son of God was nailed to the cross of Calvary that he might bequeath to the fallen race a legacy of pardon. Satan's work is directly opposed to the work of God. The enemy of all good, he stands as the general of the forces drawn up to hurt the souls of men. He looks on with fiendish triumph as he sees professed followers of Christ biting and devouring one another. He stands ever ready to mar the lives of those who are trying to serve God. Heavenly angels marvel that men should aid satanic agencies in their work, discouraging hearts, making God's people weak, strengthless, faithless. A clear revelation has been given me in regard to the need of our people assembling together, confessing their sins, repenting before God, and continuing in prayer until the Lord manifests himself to them with power. If ever a people needed to offer a prayer such as Daniel offered, it is our people. There is among them such self-confidence, such presumption. The Lord has been sending light to them, but the testimonies of his Spirit have not been heeded. There has been a departure from his express commands, a working contrary to the messages that for many years he has been giving relative to the different features of our work. There has been a selfish gathering of facilities to a few favored places and a neglect of other parts of the field. Great neglect has been shown to the needs of the people in our large cities in the southern field. This need not be, and it will not be, when those who claim to believe the truth practice the truth. I have been enjoined by the Lord to gather together the testimonies given to the southern field and put them before the people. While attending the camp meeting in Fresno, California, I was in the visions of the night in a certain meeting. I could not call those present by name, for I could not see them. There seemed to be a cloud of darkness over the assembly. I sat in a place that seemed to be separated from the room where the people had assembled. The brethren in this meeting were counseling in regard to the work at Nashville. One present was speaking in a very decided manner, expressing his views in regard to the publishing house in Nashville and the general management of the work there. Much was said, and it was all very discouraging. Matters were presented in a strong light. Some present had gathered up the testimonies of those who were unfavorably inclined toward the Nashville publishing house. If actions had been taken based upon these misrepresentations, great injustice would have been done to the Southern work. Decisions would have been made that would have had a most discouraging effect, apparently upholding that which the Lord condemns. If the course outlined by the brethren present who were connected with the work at Battle Creek has been followed, it would have worked an injustice and would have resulted in a wrong showing for the work in Nashville. Acting upon false impressions, the brethren would have brought about something that the Lord could not endorse. One of authority arose and said, "These matters are not being presented in righteousness and truth. The very ones who should have taken a Christ-like interest in the Southern work have passed it by. Wrong impressions have been made on minds in regard to the work at Nashville, and these impressions will work as leaven among meal, preventing the suffering Southern field from receiving the help that it needs. Your representations have been false, your criticisms cruel, your words have been as sharp arrows. How much glory will they bring to God? You are endeavoring to bring in plans and theories that will greatly retard the work. Let no more such hindrances be brought in. All difficulties are easily settled, all wrongs easily righted when human beings are under the control of the Spirit of God. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2:1-4. The Lord is grieved. The work cannot possibly be adjusted and conducted to His glory unless the workers allow Him to be their helper. Show a loving, generous regard for those who, to advance the work, have taxed their powers of endurance to the utmost limit, laboring almost at the sacrifice of their lives. They have been sustained by the power of God. The Savior of humanity recognizes the almost superhuman efforts made to press the work forward, while not a few were placing blocks before the wheels. If those who now view matters with perverted vision had talked constantly with God, pleading with Him for grace and guidance, they would have followed a different course. They would have called to mind their own experience in a new field and would have striven to establish more firmly that which had been established. As they learned Christ's lessons, they would have become meek and lowly and humble, and they would have been partakers of His loving kindness and His unselfish regard for others. But without a kind, loving regard for those who have as deep an interest as themselves in the cause of God, who have at heart the needs of suffering humanity, how can men serve God acceptably? How can they adjust matters in a way that will glorify Him? Those who are striving to obey the Word, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, will not hurt the souls of Christ's purchased possession. Humanity alone is a very poor combination of opposites. Naturally, human beings are self-centered and opinionated. But when they learn the lessons that Christ desires to teach them, they become partakers of the divine nature, and henceforth they live Christ's life. They regard all men as brethren with similar aspirations, capabilities, temptations, and trials, needing tests and difficulties, craving sympathy and help. Never feel that it is your prerogative to humiliate a fellow worker. If mistakes have been made, learn about them, not from a desire to crush the one who has made them, but from a desire to help, that no one be separated from God's work. Help those who have erred by telling them of your experiences, showing how, when you have made grave mistakes, patience and fellowship, kindness and helpfulness on the part of your fellow workers gave you courage and hope. Harsh judgment is not becoming. Be afraid to condemn where God is not condemned. Remember that your brethren love God and that they are striving to keep His commandments as verily as you are. You have been in the battle and you carry the scars of conflict. Will you not deal mercifully with those who are fiercely assailed? Mistakes have been made in the work in the South, but these are not such as to require the doing of the work that some have supposed to be necessary. There are those who, instead of strengthening and sustaining the work in Nashville, have tried to destroy it. They have given place to evil surmisings and unjust criticisms. They have placed a moat close to the eye, and it has obscured their vision. Nothing but it can they see. If they would remove this moat, as they could if they so desired, they would see the glory beyond.